King of heaven is the Advocate. You make us glad by the yearly festival of the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that we, who joyfully receive him as our Redeemer, may with sure confidence behold him when he comes again in glory, lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen.
Will be this. With righteousness, he shall judge the poor, of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. In those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration, and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to all whom God favors." The Gospel of the Lord.
Strange, often overwhelming season Christmas is, we begin to prepare for it for weeks and even months in advance, as if it were a tidal wave we knew were coming and would wash over us whether we're ready for it or not. More than 1 billion Christians will commemorate the birth of their Lord around the globe this year, and many more will turn up just to enjoy the candlelight and the Christmas carols. People who haven't darkened the door of the church for a year will turn up mysteriously out of the blue for a Christmas service. Sometimes the minister will use this as an occasion for a little scolding. Where have you been for the last 52 Sundays when you didn't have to have a path to get in here? Now let me be clear, I would never say such a thing. Author and Rabbi Harold Kushner tells of a friend who spoke in his sermon about the inconsistency of people who come to synagogue on special occasions and high holy days, but don't come to weekly Sabbath services. His friend said it was one of his most effective sermons. People listened to what he said and quit coming to special occasions and high holy day services. Well, I'm glad you're all here. Whether you're a believer or an unbeliever or a skeptic, whether you came out of curiosity or cultural tradition or were dragged here by family members, or whether, like many of us, you just couldn't help not being here, you had to be here to be part of what this night is about. There's nothing in the world quite like this night of being together, hearing the old story of a child born in a manger, and singing those great carols. Tonight, I'd like to begin not with Mary and Joseph and the child, but with an 18th century rabbi's tale of a worshiper named Ben Ezra, who on the eve of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, prayed long and hard in the synagogue. Meanwhile, the impatient rabbi wondered what was keeping Ben Ezra at it so long, and so finally he asked, "I will tell you what I've been saying," Ben Ezra said. "To the master of the universe, I say, these are my sins, and I confess them. I argue with my wife, but you know my wife. I lose patience with my children, but what parent doesn't? I cheated a little in the shop, but just a little, among friends. How small my sins are, Master of the Universe. Now consider your sins. You dry up the sky and our crops wither. You let the rains come before the poor man has the roof repaired. You do not stop war and young men die. The marriage bed is empty. There is no child in the womb. You take away loved ones and we're left alone till we die. These are your sins, Master of the Universe, and they are very great. But I will make you a proposition. You forgive my little sins, and I will forgive you your great ones. That was my proposal, Rabbi, and I ask you, was that so wrong? The rabbi didn't answer for a long time and said, No, Ben Ezra, it was not wrong. It was not wrong what you did. But why did you drive so small a bargain? For sins like these, you could have asked him to send the Messiah. For sins like these, you could have asked him to redeem the world. The story of Christmas begins with that reality of a world that needs a Messiah and needs redeeming. A world where our lives are marred by disappointment and pain of different kinds. A world now living through a very tough economic recession that's damaging countless lives across our country and across the globe. And so our coming together, our huddling together on Christmas Eve at the time of the winter solstice, the shortest days of the year, is our acknowledgement of our need of a vision of hope and joy in lives that often feel pretty tough. Christmas is God's answer to the darkness that we face. For sins like these, the rabbi says, we could have asked for a Messiah. Well, all the carols and beauty of the night are a response to our conviction that the Messiah has come and comes again and again. And the heavenly message is always the same. Do not be afraid. Those are the words that the angel Gabriel said to Mary. Those are the angel's words to the shepherds. The birth of the Messiah is the revealing of the deepest truth that we as Christians know, that the God of the universe is not a remote deity, high and far away, but a God who chose to take on flesh as one of us, to share our lives, to show the world a love that overcomes fear. In fact, Christmas, you know, didn't really begin with wise men and shepherds and angels. It began with a life of immense freedom and love. It began with a young man walking through the hills and valleys of Palestine, teaching about a kingdom of peace and joy right here at hand, and calling people to come and step inside it and live that way. It began with people getting their sight back, their dignity back, their hope back, because of his healing words and touch. And it began with his gathering around him some of the losers and lost of his society and treating them like royalty. Strangely enough, an instrument of torture, a cross, was part of the beginning of Christmas, because that perfect love was willing to be mocked and put to death. And ultimately, Christmas began with an empty tomb and the conviction that this man was alive and that death and darkness has been conquered for good. Through all of that, people began to believe that the Messiah had come, that the mind at the heart of space and time loved them, and had come to live with them and draw them into lives of hope and peace. And all the rest, the angels, the manger, the shepherds, came later, as people realized that they had met and known a person who had set them free, and as they began to look back and to tell the story of what his beginning must have been like those years ago. It must have been hard back there at the beginning, just the way Luke's gospel describes it this evening. The child's parents seem like insignificant pawns, as Caesar Augustus and the governor Quirinius go about their business of keeping control of the empire right now by taking a census. But Luke says the secret of the universe won't be found in Rome where the powers are, or in the American White House for that matter, or in the laboratories of the NIH, or along the canyons of Wall Street, or among the scholars of Cambridge. The mystery of the incarnation is revealed in the most unexpected of places. In a squalling child, born to a young mother and her faithful but troubled husband, as they are bandied about by the forces of empire. And who were the first to receive the news of this Messiah? Not the cultured and educated, so distracted they are with their important agendas, but the poorest of the ignorant and troublesome shepherds. The news comes to those who are willing to listen to unexpected voices, seem like angelic messengers, to trust maybe in an unseen God, and to go in surprising directions. It's a strange, even stunning thing for God to take the risk of coming to us in a tiny child in a lost corner of the world. Could it be that the master of the universe rules this universe only through the power of love? And love can be planted and started anywhere. A love that refuses to coerce or control, but gives the universe freedom to grow and to become. Could it be that to serve this master is to give ourselves to lives of compassion and generosity, and that the deepest call we have is to find our way to care for those who need help the most? This is a love that embraces people of every creed and belief. This is a God whose love has no bounds, a God who is determined to bring all people of every race and nation into harmony and life with each other. As our world faces recession, we need this vision of hope. Let me read you a few lines from a letter a priest friend of mine received a couple of years ago. The most meaningful Christmas I remember in my family was the Christmas when all we had to give was love. It doesn't pay the bills. It won't pay the rent. But sometimes love is all you have to hang on to. Like the babe in the manger, all he had was the love of two people. Without that, he had nothing. This is the simple truth this time calls for, that we belong to God, we belong to each other. Simple truth like the truth of gratitude. Being able in this troubled season, in this troubled time, to give thanks for the roof over our heads, for the friends and family who surround us, for our capacity to make just enough money to get through another day, for our desire to reach out, to write checks bigger than we would be responsible to do because we know there are people who need help so much more than us. That's what this babe comes to draw out of all of us. The birth of the Christ child is about a God who in the end has only love to give. That's why the world can be so hard, but that's also why we are never alone. A memorable moment occurred at a Christmas Eve pageant at Riverside Church in New York a few years ago. The pageant had come to its defining moment when the innkeeper tells Mary and Joseph, "There's no room in the inn." You can imagine how that must have felt for Mary and Joseph as they just had to turn and go away. Well, the innkeeper role in the pageant has only this one line, "There is no room for you in the inn." And it seemed perfect for Tim, a young member of the congregation who had Down's syndrome. Young Tim had practiced his line over and over with his parents and director, and he knew it completely. Well, the moment arrived in the pageant, and there he was, standing at the front of the aisle as Mary and Joseph walked down to him. They approached, they knocked on the door and said their lines. Then Tim's parents and the whole congregation leaned in forward to hear what Tim would say. "The There's no room in the inn. Tim boomed out. But then as Mary and Joseph turned to go, Tim suddenly yelled, "Wait!" They stopped and staggered and turned around, confused, and he said, "You can stay in my house." And that's what this season is about. A Messiah has come. God has taken on flesh in Jesus and in you and me. And the question is, will we invite this Christ child into our home, into our lives? In a few minutes, we'll sing the great Christmas carol, "O Little Town of Bethlehem," and its last stanza seems to me to say it all. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels their great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord.
Let us affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, one being with the Father. Through him what is made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will not know end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. Through the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken in the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
God.
be always with you.
And also with you.
Once again, Merry Christmas and welcome to all of you. We're delighted you came to spend Christmas Eve with us. You know, in some ways, the season of Christmas gets a bad rap. We all talk about how frenetic Christmas time is. But in reality, Christmas really only begins tonight and goes for 12 days, you know, the 12 days of Christmas. Which means that we're handed this remarkable moment to pause at the end of the year and actually take some stock of where our lives are and where they're going and what might be important in our lives now. So I encourage you to seize on this Christmas season at a time to have some of that reflection for yourself, to see if in some ways God may have something fresh in mind for you to consider in the life that you are living. We also would love for you to come back and visit the cathedral. There are, in fact, 52 Sundays in the year. And we would love to have you back for a couple of them, or one, or all of them. Who knows? There's a lot happening in the life of the cathedral, and we encourage you to check our website, nationalcathedral.org, to see what's happening in our Sunday forums and our various offerings over the course of the year. By all means, come back when you can. We come now to the feast of Christmas, the first Christmas dinner we'll have, the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the wine of God's love for us in Christ, what we call the Holy Eucharist. Anyone who seeks a deeper relationship with God in Christ is welcome to come and participate. If you'd like to come forward and not receive, feel free to come forward and cross your arms across your chest to receive a blessing. Always we begin our feast by making an offering, by giving back to God something of what God has given us, particularly in this difficult time for the spreading of Christ's love and care across the city and across the nation. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Let us with gladness present the offerings of our life and labor to the Lord.
good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, O God, creator of heaven and earth. Because of the incarnation of the Word made flesh in Christ Jesus, a new light has dawned upon the world. You have become one of us, that we might become one with you in your glorious reign. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O God,
we remember his death. Proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming, O Lord.
We offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where, with Mary and Joseph and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, O God, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come.
for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
I wonder
us pray. We give you thanks, O God,
for you have visited your people in the human frailty of your Son, Jesus Christ. You have revealed the face of divinity. Gather into your arms all the people of the world, so that in your embrace we might share your peace and goodwill, which is the inheritance of your children.
Amen.
May Christ, who by his incarnation gathered all things earthly and heavenly into one, bestow upon you the fullness of joy and peace, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen.